Let's return to a story that topped headlines last month. Kashmir, India's only Muslim-majority state. The Indian constitution had guaranteed it substantial autonomy, but in early August, India's Hindu nationalist government revoked Kashmir's special status. To try and suppress unrest, Delhi imposed a communications lockdown on the territory. When that happened, we still managed to get through to a few people through WhatsApp.
The Valley of Kashmir has become a prison right now, because in prison you don't have facilities, you don't have markets, you don't have hospitals, you don't have anywhere to go.
I have never seen such a worse clampdown on media.
People do not have any means to communicate with each other on phone.
Today, after 31 days, India apparently is relaxing some of the restrictions on Kashmir. According to the Indian government, many phone lines are back up. Most schools have reopened. But many Kashmiris argue that things are still far from normal. Vasuki Shastri is with the Asia-Pacific program at the think tank Chatham House. So this all started on August 5th, when Article 370 was first revoked by the Indian government. What's happened in Kashmir since then, Vasuki?
I think it will be useful to look at this in terms of what has not happened. The first thing that has not happened, which really concerned the international community, is there's been no escalation in hostilities between India and Pakistan. Listeners may recall that at the beginning of the year, India and Pakistan almost went to war after a suicide bombing of Indian paramilitary forces in Kashmir. That led to an upsurge in air warfare, but fortunately both sides decided to exercise restraint. So at the start of the month, when India took this action, there was obviously a great deal of concern about two nuclear powers going to war. But I think all of this is bluster. Both sides recognize that the costs of war would be devastating.
So what do you think this tells us about the state of India today? I mean, a Hindu-majority country, but a very large Muslim minority that feels, I think, eclipsed.
India is in the same category, you know, as Turkey, as China, you know, hyper-nationalism. We are living in an era of hyper-nationalism. I've been struck by the fact that there's so little international condemnation towards India after it carried out its act. In a way, states are able to act in a daring fashion, really recognizing that the condemnation of the international community is not going to matter much.
How much did Modi's revoking Article 370 start or maybe restart a conversation in Kashmir about independence?
There are two ways of looking at this. The narrative within Pakistan has been that, you know, Kashmir needs a referendum, that Kashmiris should decide whether they become an independent nation, whether they remain a part of India, or whether they become a part of Pakistan. That narrative has changed over time. There are a number of disaffected young Kashmiris today who, I think, if you go and speak with them, who don't like the idea of Kashmir being a part of Pakistan. But at the same time, there's a huge polarization on the ground on what independence would actually mean. What would an independent Kashmir actually look like? It's a landlocked state with very limited access to trade. So they're really in this surreal state where they're suffering on a daily basis, all the depredations brought to them by the Indian armed forces and the police on the ground. But at the same time, there isn't a leader in Kashmir who, you know, has the vision, the charisma to carry much of the state towards the idea of an independent Kashmir.
Vasuki Shastri with the Asia-Pacific program at Chatham House speaking with us from Washington. Thanks for being with us, Vasuki.
Thanks for having me.